This morning we're going to look at the New Testament passage that the lectionary gave us. I actually typed it out in the liturgy, if you happen to have that. It's no big deal. I oftentimes encourage you, in fact, just to listen anyway. Reading and listening can be distracting. So hear this from Romans chapter 13. This is verses 8 to 10, and this is my own translation of it. It's very close to others. Our only obligation, love each other. Whoever loves their neighbor has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And all other commandments are all summed up in this. You must love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This is the story of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I had a hard time deciding what to say about this passage. It's another one that very much speaks for itself. But what I decided to highlight the absolute centrality of love, the absolute centrality to love that is embedded in Christianity. The absolute centrality of love that's embedded in Christianity. So part of one way to do that, I mean, just look at this passage. Our only obligation is to love each other. That's it. Our only obligation. And then he starts listing the Ten Commandments. All of the commandments. You've heard them. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't covet. Everything else. All other commandments are all summed up in just this. Love each other. Whoever loves fulfills the law. That is incredibly powerful and clear. So one way to highlight that is to show that it's not isolated. This is a common theme throughout Scripture. So, for example, from the words of Jesus, this is the passage from Matthew, when Jesus was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus was asked for one commandment. Jesus gives them two commandments, which shows us that they are combined and can't be separated. Jesus replies, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as yourself." All of the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. The law and the prophets are what the religious people of Jesus' day called the Bible. The Bible is all summed up in these commandments, the love of God and love of neighbor. If you're loving your neighbor, you're loving God. That's one of the ways that we read this, because the two are interconnected. When you love your neighbor, you love God. If you love God, you will love your neighbor. They go together. The whole Bible depends on this, Jesus says. Here's a little bit from 1 Corinthians, one of my favorite passages. "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak with tongues of humans or angels, but I don't love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions to feed the poor, and I give over my body to be burned, but I don't have love, I gain nothing." It goes on to say, "These three things remain: faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is love." At another point, this is at the washing of the feet in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other. And I've preached on this before. Some of my favorite sermons come from this. What is new about this new commandment that's already in the Bible several places is the who the each other is. And the each other for Jesus is very clear, is all of the people, all of each other, not just your family, not just your friends, not just people who look like you or eat like you or smell like you or vote like you, but all of the people. I give you this new commandment, love each other. A lot of you know that we are in a denomination that takes our theological cues from a man named John Wesley. He was a priest in the Church of England in the 1700s. He wrote a book called A Plain Account of Christian Perfection that kind of summarizes a lot of his thoughts about Christianity and what it means to be a Christian and even a perfect Christian. And he wrote this. It's going to sound a little bit weird because it's 18th century English, but it were well, should you be thoroughly sensible of this. In other words, pay attention, I'm saying something important. The heaven of heavens is love. There is nothing higher in religion. There is, in effect, nothing else. If you look for anything but more love, you are looking wide the mark. You're getting out of the royal way. And when you're asking others, have you received this or that blessing? If you mean anything but more love, you mean wrong. You are leading them out of the way and putting them on a false scent. Settle it then in your heart that you are to aim at nothing but more of that love described in the 13th chapter of the Corinthians. You can go no higher than this. And then 1 John chapter 4 says, dear friends, let's love each other because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God because God is love. I'm going to read that one again because it says some things that are kind of crazy. Dear friends, let's love each other. Because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. Now listen, this is what I'm saying. Wherever there is love, there is God. Even if people don't name God, if people don't know God in the way that we might acknowledge Christ is risen from the dead, where there is love, where the motivation behind an action is a genuine love, there is God. All of the law, all of it, all of the Bible hangs on loving God and loving others. And if you love others, you are loving God, even if you don't know it. There are a couple of theologians who wrote a book called Relational Holiness, Tom Ord and Michael Lodahl, and they give the best, simplest definition of holiness I've ever read. It's one you can memorize. It is this: we are holy as God is holy, when we love as God loves. We are holy. We are holy as God is holy when we love as God loves. I am saying to us that wherever there is love, there is God. Our only obligation, love each other. Whoever loves their neighbor has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and all other commandments are all summed up in this: you must love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This is the story of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I included a creedal statement. I think I posted it in the document in the liturgy. Don't feel any pressure to read it along with me, but it's something I wrote a while ago, kind of summarizing kind of the centrality of love in Christianity. I'm going to read through it now. And if you have it open, you can read along. You can read the whole thing, or you can just jump in where it's bolded. It's a series of ideas, and a lot of them are quotes from the Bible or from Wesley or from other places. But I'll read through this and say amen, and then just invite us to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. But as we're doing this, part of me wants to congratulate this church on loving so well. You really do love well. I've heard from many people about the love they've received from us. And it speaks to the beauty and the health of this congregation. And yet we still need to hold up this centrality of love. We need to hold it up so that we remember, because we will be tempted to hate, we'll be tempted to strike out, we'll be tempted to circle the wagons and protect ourselves. And there's a boldness in love. There's also a self-care in love. There's a suffering in love. And yet there is sometimes when love calls us away from harm. And so I'm holding up the centrality of love, but I'm not so naive to think it's simple. So know that it's not just simple, but it is our way if we are to follow the God of love. So either listen along or join me in this kind of creedal statement about love. We believe in a God of unfailing love who calls us to love. We confess that there is nothing higher in religion. There is, in effect, nothing else. If we look for anything but more love, we are looking wide of the mark. We desire God to form us in love, knowing that Christian perfection is nothing higher and nothing lower than this, the pure love of God and neighbor. It is love governing the heart and life, running through all our tempers, words, and actions. We believe the Apostle Paul when he proclaimed that our only obligation is to love each other. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. We believe that love is not passive, but active, and calls us to endure and act, neither violently resisting nor fleeing. It may require suffering for the benefit of others. It may require shelter and self-care. We desire the defeat of evil, not the defeat of persons, recognizing that oppressors are victims too, that God loves people indiscriminately, and that Christ calls us to be perfect in the same way. O God of power and love, as you have said, so let it be with us. Let it be with me.